Hey guys, welcome to season 9 of Interviews with the Hunting Masters podcast. I want to start off by saying thank you for all the reviews, the comments, and the questions that you guys send in. I do this to help others, and it means a lot to me that you're involved. And also, it helps me keep this podcast free and helps me keep this podcast at the top of the charts. With your help, I've been able to grow this podcast to one of the number one podcasts in big game hunting. I also want to give a big shout out to Sneak Tech Sneak Boots for being the number one sponsor of this podcast and helping me keep it free. So thank you, and let's roll into the next episode. So we're here at the Hunting Expo in Salt Lake City.
There's better. Almost set on that.
That's all right. with good friend Chad Roberts. And we're going to do a campfire story. We're going to talk a little bit about one of your most memorable hunts. And I have a feeling I know which one it is.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and talk about the big buck. He's here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not much of an afternoon type hunter.
Yeah.
But I had the spot that was fairly close to my work I could run out to and get a few hours in the afternoon. And I'm not much on sitting water neither, but sometimes it's a good way to hunt.
Right.
And I had a blind set up on a water hole. And those deer down there, it could be a full-blown drought, and you get a little sprinkle on the ground, and they'll quit.
Right.
They don't come to water anymore. And it was sprinkling, and I decided just to do some still stalking. And I was working up this finger, and I had to go around this little tree, and I skylined myself, and this buck blew out. And I stopped him, I grunted at him, he stopped, and he was right in the sunlight. Just one little beam of sunlight come through the clouds, and I just remember seeing these big bases. And he turns and he looks at me, and I guess him at 70 yards. I anchor in, I don't look at his horns anymore, I anchor in, I let it fly. He hits his belly, runs off, my buddy runs over, and walks to where the deer was standing, and I range him at 70 yards. So he looks, finds my arrow, nothing on it. And any big buck you ever see, you swear to God it's the biggest deer that you've ever come across.
Of course.
So, you know, I just kept saying he had beer can bases coming out of his head and he was wide. Really didn't have much knowledge of what else he had on his head. I wasn't really focusing on that. And a couple weeks went by and things were dry again. Figured I'd run out and sit water, and before I got my blind, I pulled the card on my trail cam, put a new one in it, and sat there that night. Nothing come in. I turned around and went home. Next day, I went out after work and pulled my card and put a new one in there so I can look and see what come on in the middle of the night. And 10 minutes after I left, that buck was standing at the drinker. That was the only time that deer had ever gone to that water hole.
Okay.
And it cost him his life. He never went back. I don't know what he was thinking. He was about 10 miles from his normal range.
Right.
And the next year I just started working on him, and it was a drought year. And you really don't ever think of seeing anything like that down there. So we didn't know how old he was. And we thought he was ancient. And the next year was a drought year, and he didn't produce. He was in the 220s, and we thought he was getting older. And I ended up killing a decent buck, and not him, obviously, and my wife ended up jumping him out and missing him. So that was the end of that hunting season.
Right.
And the next year rolled around, a little better year, and he recovered, but not to his full potential. And there was a big big typical running with him, and they always ran together. And I ended up harvesting him and not him. And I went back January, because that season doesn't open until January for archery.
Right.
And I got on him, he was laying down at 60 yards, and I shot him, and it went in about 3 inches low and come out perfect. And some rain had rolled in and he shook it off. It didn't hit any vitals, nothing. And I was obviously sick.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I set trail cameras up immediately. He dropped his horns 2 months early. Other little bucks were just tearing him up.
Yeah.
At one point, I had pictures of him with his head laying in the drinker. And his little buck was standing over the top of him, just wreaking havoc on him.
Oh, Jesus.
And we thought he was a goner for sure. About 2 weeks later, I end up killing a smaller buck. About 2 weeks later, he come in and had a little more pep in his step. You know, he was coming back to life.
Right.
And I didn't see him for about a month. And all the other deer still had horns on their head. And he had these bases, you know, big gnarly things coming out of his head and no scars on him. He was ready to go. And he blew up into a big 260 buck, real heavy, big mainframe, a little bigger mainframe than he is now. He just didn't have quite the extras.
Right.
And I couldn't hunt him. And my wife had the tag. And she opted not to hunt him because there was a few people around that we just really didn't want in there.
Right.
And so I went after him with my bow. And I ended up getting a shot at
that
him.
That following January?
Yeah. I ended up getting a shot at him. And it was a little trick shot. I had some brush in front of him about halfway. And I was playing the art game.
Yeah.
And I guessed him for 40. He was 50. I shot underneath him. I could have stayed
it's
after
crazy
him.
Crazy that you've gotten that many opportunities to kill this buck.
I could have stayed after him that day, and I just figured, you know, he's had enough. I've had enough.
Yeah.
And my dad had eyes on him, and I just said, not the day. And the very next day, Fish and Game did a survey, and they ended up busting the herd.
Oh, wow.
And blowing him out. It took me the remainder of the season to find him. And on the last day, I glassed him up. He was 600 yards from me. Yeah, and the wind was wrong. I just didn't have a play. And I had to wait on him. So I moved in about 200 yards. I had a decent angle. And, I mean, the only thing I had was a waiting game. And I'm sitting there, and it's prime time. They're about ready to get up.
Yeah.
I'm a mile or so off the road from this spot, and I hear voices.
Oh, Jesus.
And I go, man, what's that? And I turn around, I look over my shoulder, and these two women are walking down this malapai. And I'm watching them, and the deer are downwind from them.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching them, going back and forth, and they get dead even with me, and there's this big swirl cactus. And they're talking, just, you know, having a good time. They're not hunting, they're just out there. And the deer blow. They get up, I peek over the hill, and I watch them run off, and I'm just like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And they take a couple pictures next to this big swirl.
Right.
And turn around and walk off. Back out the direction they come from. And at that point, I just laughed. Oh, you know, I just laughed. I was like, this isn't meant to be.
No.
It's not going to happen. And I wasn't upset or anything. I just the way things had been going. If he was any other deer, he'd have been dead.
Oh, yeah.
And I walk out behind him. I go, you guys have any idea what you just ran off? No? They didn't have a clue. So I never saw him. Right. They were only 100 yards from him. I never saw him. And that was my last day for that year. So next year would roll around, and I watched him start growing up, and I kept a little tighter tabs on him. And we had him dialed in pretty good, and I was gonna hunt him with my bow. I drew the rifle tag.
Uh-huh.
I was gonna hunt him with my bow. And by then, a few people, rumor had gotten out that I was hunting a big deer.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a clue where he's at, just where I was at.
They were hunting you.
They were hunting me. And at that point, I put my bow away, and I got my rifle out. And next morning, it was his history. I went into his home. I jumped him out. He was at full stride, about 100 yards. And I heart shot him. Changed his momentum pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I was impatient. The wheels were falling off,
right.
Obviously.
Oh, my bad.
I'd seen that deer get away so many times, and he was going through some brush, and I shot at him again twice, and I shouldn't have, because there was a wide open clearing. And I remember I was shooting a 270 short mag, and I remember shooting those three shots and popping the clip open and sticking a bullet in and closing the clip, racking one in,
right.
And the bullet flies out. And I go, oh, man, and I reach down and I grab it, and I'm shaking, and I'm a wreck.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I bet.
I'm not even looking at the deer anymore. I'm a wreck.
Yeah.
And I grab the bullet, and I open the magazine up, I close it, and I jack it in there, and the bullet flies out, and it dawns on me. I got four in there.
Yeah.
You know? So I chambered one.
Right.
And by this time, he goes over the edge of this little roll, and I make my way over the top, and it looked like a big, his horns were white, he'd just stripped them, and it looked like a big brittle bush that just rolled out of the ground, you know,
right,
it was
right.
Upside down. He was upside down, his horns were dug into the ground, and I look across there, and I go, is that him?
Yeah.
No, because I'm in disbelief. So many times he's
slip
gotten away from me. And I throw my gun up on him, and it's him. And he's upside down. And, you know, I remember breaking down on the way over there, and I sat down next to him, and I just grabbed a hold of him.
Give and, him a kiss.
Yeah, my Uncle Johnny and my dad come. They were right there close.
Yeah.
And they come over, and I remember telling my uncle, I said, I think I'm going to cry. And he goes, just go right ahead, son, we'll cry with you.
Yeah,
and,
that's nonsense.
You know, at that point I did. But
that's pretty incredible, man.
My dad called it divine intervention. You know, it just, he waited for his best time to give it up.
Yeah.
And
that's crazy how he was, I mean, he was good when you first tried at him, and then he went downhill, and then he came back.
Well, it's just,
even
it,
after you
it just,
shot him.
It's just drought, you know, and those desert bucks lose so much. And
yeah.
They're skin and bones, you know, on years like that. They look like they're not going to make it as it is, and so many don't.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we never really knew how old he was. And when I killed his brother, that big typical, I aged him, and he was five. And then we kind of had an idea, but still weren't
right.
Exactly sure. And then had him aged as well, and he was seven when
you killed
him. So
nice.
It's a good thing it happened when it happened. I had another big typical in there.
Fantastic.
And a cat got him.
Oh, really?
So probably wouldn't happen.
Nice, man. I mean, he's going to be tough to beat.
I don't plan on beating him.
Oh, yeah, you do. I know you do.
You know,
I know you want to.
You know, I have goals to kill a big typical
that's
with
next,
my bow on the desert,
on the list.
And that's next on the list. I said I wouldn't sit on the hill and let life pass me by,
right.
But I'm gonna be very disappointed in myself if I don't eat a few tags trying to get it done.
Right.
This year's deer had some sentimental value to it. We talked about before.
Yep.
So this next couple of years, I'm gonna grind it out. We'll see what happens.
I don't think it's gonna take you too long. Well, maybe this year, because
it's not a good year.
It's not a good year.
We've got pockets. We've got some good pockets, and we've had some intermittent rain.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it's enough. Hopefully, we get some rain in April. We get a little rain in April, and things are gonna look good, because there are areas that have decent amount of feed.
Yeah.
And just stay after them and see what happens. You know,
I'm making a prediction by 2020 you're gonna have that filled.
I hope so.
That's my prediction.
We have the age class right now. Good bucks that were born on a good year, and that's what it takes, is they've got to be born on the right year. And
right.
Not just the genetics.
Yeah.
You know, they have to be born on good years down there. And we're hitting that prime range. If we can just get the right weather, it'll happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a crapshoot down there.
Yeah.
You know, it's hit and miss, and you got to stay after it. And fortunately, I've got a good wife. She
puts up with it.
She puts up with it, and she likes to hunt. So I can show her a good buck and say, hey, look, you know, do you want him? Because I got to stay after him, you know, so that awesome. Helps. But
I'll come clean up your dregs. Don't worry about it.
Of course.
Awesome, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time and sharing this story with us.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people have wanted to hear that for a while.
Yeah, let's get some video
about this buck. Is you have to walk around him to see him all. He stacks up in the back, then everything parallels itself. Everything's vertical. So he kind of shows you something different with every angle.
Freaking crazy. Like a cactus bush. Like an ocotillo sticking out of his head.
Yeah. So he's got so much that's hidden back here, and he's so symmetrical to each side. So here he's got three that come off this one. He's got three that come back. Then when you get on this other side, it's deuces.
Oh yeah.
And they stack up off the bat. So.
How many points total?
He's got 12 on each side, 24 total, counting eye guards. 295 and 7/8, nets 292, a little over 34 inches wide.
Freaking incredible, Chad. Every time I see him, it still makes me amazed.
Hey, thanks again for tuning in. And I want to urge you to take a few seconds out of your life to leave me a review on iTunes. That way I can continue to take hours out of my life to produce this show.